Third and 13. Got to make it to the 42 for the first. Picked off Polamalu. Polamalu going right. The field is open. Aaron Smith shields. Flacco. Polamalu takes it home. Super Bowl 43. Pittsburgh might be bound for that thanks to number 43.
Without a close second, the greatest moment in Heinz Field history. I would know because I was there in the stadium that night to watch that one. Hi and hello, and welcome to the Dave Dameshek football program, presented as always by our pals over at Zaxby's, home of the famous chicken fingers, wings, and salads. We're ready to roll for week 5. I hope and trust
you. Why did you play that highlight?
Because they're about to play each other again. What do you mean, why did I play it?
Just, you know.
I like my history.
It seems like there's other things going on in the league besides a 1-3 and a 2-2 team going after one another.
No, I mean, this show to be 100% perfect.
You got the Rams and the Seahawks at 3-1 going Thursday night.
Listen, we're
just saying,
get into
it
all
seems
of
like
it.
You could highlight something else that's maybe a little bit more interesting.
Let me have my moment. All right, I like the Steelers. After this game on Sunday, it's probably, now it really is done after that. Well, then the Steelers are going to play your Chargers, and right, then it'll really, really be done. Anywho, let's not get negative already. Let's talk about the great game of pro football.
Wait a minute. What do you mean it's over after this week? Lamar Jackson has completely come down to earth. All the incoming I took for saying Lamar Jackson for Baker Mayfield, you crazy? Mm-hmm. Look at me. I feel vindicated now. The guy has looked like the quarterback that many people said, give him a little bit longer. Let's see what we got. Cardinals, Dolphins, not a lot of defense there. Let's see and the Steelers are a legitimate defense. That has not changed. Big Ben Roethlisberger injury notwithstanding, departure of Le'Veon Bell and Antonio Brown. Don't be so soon to write off your Steelers.
Listen, I'm not being just, falsely modest about my favorite football team.
Right.
If that defense plays to its pedigree.
Which it should be able to.
Well, but as we talk about for the last month or so, this is a coach's league now. Mm. And I am not positive that Mike Tomlin and Keith Butler are up to the task in a league that has Andy Reid.
Wait a minute. So
Bill
Freddie
Belichick.
Kitchens is over John Harbaugh, but Mike Tomlin's not?
I didn't say that either. We're going to dig into this because it is fascinating.
I always do that. I'm sorry.
We have our red challenge flag picks for week 5 among the many exciting games. Yes, Ravens Steelers, the renewal of the best rivalry in pro football in the 21st century, certainly, I think. But one of the non-divisional best rivalries now for really the Super Bowl era is the Cowboys and Packers. They're getting it on. Of course, Super Bowls 1 and 2, the course of Super Bowl era history would be wildly different. So much so, you could even have the trophy not named Lombardi. It could be the Landry Trophy because twice, back-to-back games, the Packers barely win on the last play of the game, two straight seasons. That's how the Packers get to those two Super Bowls and win them. Cowboys would have won those two, and so it would be the Landry Trophy instead.
Nice little bit of history there.
Hey, everybody. I didn't introduce
all right,
you.
Everybody.
One half of the finest radio show in all the land.
Stop it.
Petros and Money Track. That one down on iHeartRadio.
It's Eddie.
He is the voice of your Los Angeles Chargers. No, that's not this guy. Yeah, not that guy, this guy. That's our seat warmer over there for a prima donna.
Say something, Eddie.
Hank Hodgson.
This seat is exquisite.
Well done.
The Dolphins.
And you see him on everything else all over the place here. Oh, including NFL Now, doing a sincerely gangbusters job over there, chopping up the great game of football on Thursdays and Fridays. Wait a second. That quickly, he's out there.
Bye.
Like
bye,
I
Dad.
Say, yeah. lot of stuff going on right
UK
now.
UK time, this guy here, huh?
Well, that's right, because it's the start of UK football this weekend, and so I assume
now he's Mr. Important. Oh, I get to show up late everywhere because I'm so busy.
Well, you're just lucky to have me, quite honestly. I mean if that's not enough, money. Sorry, I didn't show up on time or anything.
Hey, you know. Come on, it's a
punctual
league.
What kind of behavior is that?
Hey, no one ever tells me anything. I'm just like, hey, we just don't.
Now you're going to throw the producers under the bus?
For sure.
Holy cow.
I'm throwing everyone
Adam
under the
Thielen
bus.
Adam Thielen over here. Jeez.
I think it's time for you, Spaghetti, to issue a formal apology, I guess.
Like, yeah, let's do it.
Like Kirk Cousins had to for, I
not
don't
now.
Know.
Not now. Eddie's had his air time. He doesn't need
any
more.
Did you like his English accent?
I didn't hear it.
Do you like it when people do you like when it's a UK football game that all the American sports outlets. They take it upon themselves to then do their best British accent.
I actually used social media this morning as a way to issue my annual statement on that and to warn people that that's not a good thing to do and that they should try and stay clear of it. For example, when American sports are on TV in the UK, do you think everyone walks around, paints themselves orange? Hey, man! Hey, look at this! It's baseball!
Well done. Well done.
No, they don't.
Yeah, Carrot Top.
Way to slide that in there.
Carrot Top is the anomaly in actual comedy, but it's funny that sports media in the last 5 to 10 years is now home of all costumes and props.
Right.
Like in lieu of being actually clever, like, let's just make our guys look absurd. And it works, especially in Halloween month here. But let's get into
Halloween is the
NFL slate for week five, or I should say, we'll do that in a minute. We'll get to the Red Challenge flag picks. Welcome back from your travels abroad,
Thank you, handsome
Hank. Matt Money Smith, a pleasure to see you as always.
Great to be here.
Round it out, it's Matt Money Smith. And our pal, the Englishman and resident Miami Dolphins fan, tenuous though that relationship may be at this point.
It's a good time down there. By the way to go on that. It's the first time I've been in that stadium since they redid it. Talk about a great spot.
Really?
It's nice, isn't
it? Man, did they do a great job with that. And I had security guard Brent
take me through.
You know Brent. Yeah, of course. Wonderful guy.
I know Brent.
Been there for 30 years.
Yep.
And I had to get down on the field. I had a 30-minute window in pregame where DJ and I made our way down on the field, do our laps, say hi
to a few
people.
Shake a couple hands.
And he took us through the shortcut, which was the nightclub.
You stepped on the orange carpet.
I think it's called Live. Live, L-I-V.
Live. I don't know. You got
and I would just say there were some people in interesting costumes that that I guess are workers there. I don't know exactly what their job is, but I was taken aback and my mouth was agape at what I witnessed 30 minutes prior to kickoff.
Before kickoff, you were already taken aback.
Before kickoff, yes,
wow.
Inside of Live. It is something, what they got going down there at the Hard Rock Stadium.
It certainly doesn't have dignity, does it?
Imagine a club that has no windows. Okay.
I'm thinking of
like
Miami.
I'm not talking about
I'm not talking about a private club within the stadium. I'm talking about Miami, period.
Oh.
Everybody talks about the best place in America, the most fun place. I can't conceive of what it's like there, how cuckoo it is.
It is. It's nuts.
Well, you've never been.
I mean, not in
this year.
Years.
Super Bowl. You'll
yeah,
be
we're
there.
Gonna, well, let's
but
go
what
there.
A great
let's...
job on the stadium. I just want to say that.
Thanks.
Awesome
a lot,
stadium. Intimate. You know.
Covered. Because, I mean, the biggest problem was if you went there in September.
Ooh.
You could very well expire in the top deck. But now it's covered, and that's nice.
Here's
great job,
a tease.
Miami.
The Dolphins might be the correct choice for something that if we have time to do a question that I'd like to ask the two of you in just a little bit, we'll get to
Ooh,
it. In the meantime,
exciting.
Let's get to Zaxby's Fresh Takes, presented by, as always, our pals over there. Again,
there they
I
are.
Can't say it enough, the famous Fingers Chickens. Famous chicken fingers.
Salads.
Thank
yep.
you. Thank you. Here's here's today's question. I don't know if you've noticed it. I, for the record, and have been arguing against parody for the better part of this century at least. My most curmudgeonly take in all of sports is March Madness. Lots of fun. Not the best way to determine who the best team in the country is. I understand why leagues and networks like to have as many teams being relevant as long into the season as possible. But I like a meritocracy, as I say. And so I'm on the wrong side of things right now because outside of the Chiefs and the Patriots, the clear-cut two best in the AFC right now, who's good? Do you know there's only one other team with a winning record?
This isn't the one that the answer was the Miami Dolphins.
No,
it?
This is not it.
No,
they're
okay.
not going to be
I,
one
yeah,
of these
I just want to make sure.
That will be the answer here. I want to see if we can figure out amongst ourselves here. Let's do it democratically. And vote on how this AFC is going to seed out come January.
The six playoff teams.
The six playoff teams. So I think we can lock in pretty safely that the Patriots are going to win their division and the Chiefs are going to win theirs. And what's further, they're going to be the top two seeds. But let's see. Let's address the small matter of who the other four teams are going to be. And let's do it with a vote of hand, shall we?
Okay. So should we do the other two divisions then to start? The
let's
North
start
and the
that
South?
Way. Well done, Matt Money Smith. Let's start with the AFC North. Who's going to win that division? Let's start with the Cleveland Browns. Spaghetti, get in on this. Cleveland
I don't think Browns. That the hand-raising thing's going to work well for people listening.
That's
well,
a good point.
I'll call it out. Matt Money Smith just raised his hand for the Browns.
I say Browns, yes.
Okay.
Matt, Handsome, your
I
vote?
Didn't raise my hand just
so
for
not
people
the
listening.
Browns.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
And Eddie Spaghetti.
I did not raise my hand for the Browns.
So not the Browns. I just can't figure out who is going to win this division. Well, I'm not going to raise my hand either on this one then. But do we think then that if it's not the Browns, does the North only provide
I can tell you it's not the Bengals. We can eliminate them. It is so definitely not so the Bengals. So can we think of any other teams?
If it isn't, then we can go from there.
Yes.
So, all right, let's go around then, Handsome. You have me intrigued. Who's going to win the North?
I'm going to say the same as I said before the season. The Baltimore Ravens are going to win the North.
Okay, good pick. You looked a lot better a fortnight ago than you did.
There's your hand. Well
That's
done.
My hand.
Handsome Hank raises
sure
his
that
hand
that
in favor of the Birds.
I got the Browns.
You've got the Browns right, of course. I already forgot. This hand thing is
the
already
thing.
It's a little confusing.
Yeah. And Eddie Spaghetti, Eddie? I'll say you.
I will raise my hand for the Ravens. As I told you on the earlier pod this week, I think a big game this year is going to be when the Patriots come to Baltimore for the Ravens. I just really believe in them and Lamar Jackson, so they're my pick.
All right. I don't know. In some years, that might be a favorable matchup for the Ravens. I think that as well as that defense is playing up in Foxborough, I don't know that the Ravens' attack is going to spook Belichick's defense this season. And so no one's taking the Steelers. And are we saying that
Are you?
I'm not taking I'm
going
to take
you got to raise your hand.
I'm going to take the Ravens.
Okay.
There, I just raised my hand
Thank you
for the
it.
Ravens. So that's either the 3 or 4 seed. So then to the South we go.
Wait a minute. Can I just a smidge of analysis here? Or I said on your part, on the
okay,
three of
you. Okay, you're right. Go with the Browns. Everybody's very excited
again. I'm just
Everybody
asking.
Everybody was excited for 6 months.
Right.
Then they
won excited.
And everybody's excited
Now they won
again.
And
I'm
now
asking,
everyone's excited.
And look, I will acknowledge my concern with the Browns. Their next three are at the 49ers. At the Patriots and sandwiched between those two. I can't remember who they have at home, but it's someone that's not easy either. Their next three are tough.
Yep.
But at the same time, I just feel like we just saw two games from the Ravens throw the score out against the Chiefs. That wasn't that close of a game. I mean, they got manhandled by the Chiefs.
Right.
And really, the Browns, they roughed them up pretty darn good. Like, to me, that means there's a lot of questions about that team. And like, hey, this Lamar Jackson thing isn't what everyone wants it to be based on the first two games because of those opponents he played. And now we're seeing this might be a struggle, and that defense might not be as good as everybody thinks it is because they lost some key pieces. And, you know, Freddie Kitchens and the Browns were able to exploit that pretty darn easy, as did the Chiefs.
I just feel like the defense is the issue, and it feels like it can be fixed. They've proven that they've been able to do it before. The pieces are still in place. There's definitely work to be done, but it's not like they are devoid of any talent that could actually turn that around. And we're a month into the season, and I feel like the defense could be fixed in, you know, going into the next three quarters of the season, where and the offense has already proven to be one that can score points. And
you like their
keep
defense better
people.
Than the Browns' defense?
Not now, but no. I mean, I don't think I'll ever get to that point.
Right.
But I like their offense probably.
That's
better.
That's kind of where
I'm
going.
Browns
it's like
offense.
I like the Browns' defense better. I like Baker Mayfield more.
Mm-hmm.
So I just feel like the Browns are the better choice there.
Well, believe me, I'll play devil's damashek on behalf of my favorite team, the Steelers. I don't think that they're a gangbusters team. Obviously, they have their backup quarterback playing for the rest of the season. How high can you be on that team? And they don't have Juju. Aside, they don't have a ton of weapons out there on offense. However, as I say, if the defense were to play to its pedigree for the rest of the season and they take care of the ball, as they always say, and play complementary offense, if they can beat the Ravens this week and get through the first five games with the Browns losing up in San Francisco, the Steelers are in first place, and then it's kind of back to the original point, three mediocre teams fighting it out in a mediocre division. The reason I ultimately will take the Ravens is, again, because of the parity/mediocrity, which is that when the Ravens, they're kryptonite, good teams, legitimately, and I mean it. When they play good teams, they get exposed. However, most of the league isn't good, so they should be able to win more often than they lose.
How many teams in the division have double-digit wins by the end of the season?
Maybe
zero
one.
Or one?
I'm going to go with one.
Yeah.
One.
Yeah,
with you.
But
okay.
just 10
All
wins.
Right.
Next, the South and money. I'll start with you,
Dave.
On
do you
this
mind
one,
if I throw your cushion? I know, I'm sorry.
It's not,
it's your
not
living room.
No, we're way ahead of you.
I know
that.
You and Mrs. Damashek have redesigned recently, but
yeah.
I don't like your cushions.
She kept her name. She didn't want it.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm not,
not
surprised.
Mrs. Damashek.
Not surprised.
Yeah. Listen, what happened, and
that's what
you
know.
Do.
Yeah. Sorry, I just felt like it.
The South. Who do you got?
Yeah.
So who do I have in the South?
Yeah. Oh, whoever you got, they should get themselves some Zaxby's. That's the home. That's
the home of Zaxby's.
Why are you starting with me?
You could make a case for any. I mean, if you want to talk about parity, all four teams, 2-2.
I think I'm going to take the Jags. I know, but just that defense, man. That defense looks so freaking good. Yeah. And you see it with the Bears and how good that defense is. You see it with the Saints and Teddy Bridgewater. Like, this season is, and I think, like you just detailed, you might see it with the Steelers. When you have a defense that is that good, I'll put this qualifier on it. If they can fix things with Jalen Ramsey, and I think they can, because I think if Shad Khan can, if he can get it right with Ramsey, I'd take the Jets.
Really?
Yeah, I do.
I think it would be awesome.
At the Panthers, they get the Saints at home. You know, I think it lines up pretty well for them.
I mean, I've been saying this for 3 or 4 weeks now. The obvious thing in our new look NFL, in which teams trade big name guys before the season and even in season, the move that's obvious from both sides: send Tyreek Hill to Jacksonville and send Jalen Ramsey up to KC. KC needs to do something, and they ain't going to get, even if, let's say, Von Miller is available based on where the Broncos are, they're not going to trade him within the division.
Right.
So I don't know exactly what else they can do to fix things in KC, but that defense is the looming issue for them. Spaghetti, how say you in the South?
I'll put my hand up for the Jaguars as well. I think they're going to make the playoffs.
Here's the thing with the Jags, too, is the NFL season, like life itself, is long. People always think it's super short, but in fact, it will go on and on much longer than you feel. We're prisoners of the moment right now. And so Gardner, Minshew mania and everything else. But what will give them a nice boost is when Nick Foles comes back, when Minshew drops off, which he almost invariably will a little bit, all of a sudden they'll inject Nick Foles into the situation, and that'll probably boost them a little bit. Is that a reasonable
hypothesis? I think so.
Hypothesis?
I just think of all the backup quarterbacks, Minshew's been the most impressive. Yeah. You know, he's winning games.
Right.
He's not managing. He's winning games for them.
Exactly. And if he keeps playing at this level, there will be a question when Foles is healthy again of do you automatically reinsert Nick Foles there?
Poor Nick Foles. Okay, handsome, who you got?
I'm going to go with the Texans. It comes back to the same thing I just said, and I'm inspired by your podcast earlier in the week. September is the new August in terms not necessarily believing
right.
what you're seeing.
Handsome.
And I believe that I went into the season believing that the Texans was a good team with a great offense and a defense that would come together. And I still think that going into October, November, and December is something that will happen.
There was a little clip right there of Laremy Tunsil is so good. And you know this as a Dolphins fan. Anytime he and Bosa were one-on-one, he locked him up.
Yep.
I mean, and since they made that adjustment to put Sharping and Howard in there on that offensive line looks good now.
Yeah.
I know last week, you know, obviously the Panthers got after him. They did some things. Ron Rivera was just sending the house, I think, nonstop. And they were slow to adjust to that. But that's why it's such a tough one. Between those two, and obviously, are you going to take Gardner Minshew or Deshaun Watson? I mean,
well,
that's the case for the Texans.
But again, you know, I was just about ready to say the Colts certainly. Again, prisoners of the moment are we, and so we feel like the Colts are, wow, see, they can't. What are they going to do? But in this division, 9-7, 10-6 might win it, and they're, you know, highly likely to take a loss on Sunday night against the Chiefs in Arrowhead. But after that, I still think this Colts team is fine. They have the best defense. They have the best offensive line in the division. Maybe
they don't have the best defense. Jaguars have the best defense in the division.
Well, I guess maybe I've assumed that Jalen Ramsey and that mess is going.
Yeah, I'm not as confident as you are that that's going to get resolved.
Because the Texans have serious secondary
yes.
issues. So yes, I guess I'm projecting it as though Ramsey is going to be okay, and they're going to figure that out because he's too good. You just can't trade. It's like what the Dolphins did with Tunsil. I get it. You want to amass picks, but you can't trade a dominant.
Well, it's different. I mean, they're
tackle.
At different stages. Like
right.
they're Jags are not
right.
in a.
But I'm just saying, like
rebuild.
Those to me, those are the two
yeah.
positions. Like
yeah, yeah.
don't trade
yeah.
the best.
You can't find those guys.
Figure it out.
Yeah.
Make it work. You know, throw
yeah.
extra money at them.
I know. Well, it does seem like if you just wait it out, all the emotions kind of settle down. But. Right now, it feels like, well, this is untenable. They're going to have to deal Jalen Ramsey at some point. They're not going to let him sit on the bench for the rest of the year. Although, again, it's a new world that
yeah.
we live in.
And the funny thing
is
you
watch Le'Veon Bell do it. So
you could have inserted Titans for the Colts, and it would have been totally fine.
Yeah, I didn't even mention them.
You know, Taylor Lewan's coming back. His suspension has now come to an end. One of the best left tackles. Now you get some protection for Marcus Mariota.
And a good defense.
Good defense. Like, that's I don't know if 10 wins does it. I think it might be 9. Mm-hmm. And I think it might be a 9-7 division champ.
And back to our point about mediocrity. It's a bad look for the AFC. I don't care what you say. It's a bad look for pro football.
But it's early.
If you have two, and this is plausible, you could have two division champs in the AFC with 8 wins. That would be bad. If the South and North both produce
I don't think eight,
that
no.
would happen.
Okay, but, so we've resolved nothing in the South because we've got two Jags. I'm going to take the Texans, but the Colts are, I think the Titans could be. I'll take one of the others. You know what? I'll go Texans just to keep it clean.
Okay.
Because I did. That was my preseason pick, so I'll stick with that.
Well, that seems less clean. Because
I have two from the South as well.
Oh. You have two teams from the South? You have a wild card going to a South team?
Texans and Jags.
Money?
I'm with money on that. I think the Jags are basically a mirror image of what they were two years ago.
Yeah, it's going to be two from the North. So,
okay, let's go through. The Bills.
Two from the West, two from the South.
The Bills are 3-1. By the way, I think they lose in Tennessee this week. So, boosting the Titans' chances and obviously diminishing.
That's a good question. Theirs. Okay, you know what? I'm going to, this is a mess, isn't it, of a topic. I'm with you. I'm gonna take out the South. Division winner only. I do think the Bills get there because they've got three byes left.
They've got
two Dolphins and a Jets. Exactly. So they got three wins right now. That gets them to six.
Yep. Good point on that one. Yeah. That
helps.
And then we have the Chargers. Do we agree the Chargers, despite all the injuries once again, that they're gonna get one of those two seeds?
Another guy on the IR today, Dontrell Inman. They are now down to they'll be playing three practice squad wide receivers this week against the Broncos. Three. I mean, it is nuts what is happening to that team.
It's gonna be embarrassing when they struggle with the Broncos. But you forecasted that they might struggle with the Dolphins, and at halftime, I thought, oh no, Matt Money Smith is sage.
And look, as we're looking at Phillip Rivers right now, just think about, and I've said this repeatedly all week because I really was dumbfounded by it. This guy has got his RB2 and his RB4, his wide receiver 3, 4, and 5. Jeremy Davis caught his first pass of the season. Andre Patton caught his first pass of his career. Troymaine Pope, these are names you don't know, caught his first touchdown reception of his career. And the guy has the number one Pro Football Focus QB rating of the week. He completed 80% of his passes for two touchdowns and a QB rating of 130. It's ridiculous what that guy does.
I'm
it
proud
just
of
is.
Money for being a company man.
Yes.
For the Bulls.
If nothing else. I looked down and I was like,
an excuse.
Nine receivers? That guy completed passes. Lance Kendricks, who joined the team 9 days ago, and he was his leading tight end. Like, it's crazy.
Okay, so how do we have this then? So we have the Ravens getting the division.
I got the Browns.
And no one from the North. Okay,
you're wrong about that.
But we're going Democratic.
Division only in the North.
Ravens are the third seed. The Texans or the Jags are the four seed.
Right.
The Chargers are the five.
And now we fight over the six.
Either the Bills or
the Jags,
whichever South team misses out.
You know what? The more I think it through, I think it is the Ravens get it. But I think the Browns end up winning the division, but then that'll all go down the tubes if the Steelers vanquish the Ravens, then they're truly going to be exposed at that point.
Yeah. Can I cheat and look at the Bills' schedule?
Please, because you've already made the best point of all. They have three gimmies still.
They have
left
those
on
three
the
gimmies. They play the NFC North, which is...
Right. And the Jets, by the way, are not going to be a gimme when Sam Darnold comes back.
And then I think they're playing a third-place schedule in the AFC.
Right, so we got the three gimmies. So what do we have to find? 9 wins? That's what we're looking for. So we got the three, the Jets, and the two Dolphins. Now
Jets
they're
the
at six. We got to find three. At Patriots, no. At Steelers, is Mason Rudolph going to crack the code that is probably the second best defense in the AFC right now?
Don't just say Mason Rudolph because Jalen Samuels is in there running some wildcat. Hey, you don't know what this team's going to do.
What's the Bengals head coach's name? Zach Taylor?
I think so.
Maybe recognize the Wildcats working for him.
Exactly.
And I don't know, make an adjustment. Maybe play some zone and run two exotic blitzes against Mason Rudolph to see what happens.
Two guys on the Steelers that have splashed recently are Jalen Samuels and Minka Fitzpatrick, and they wear numbers 38 and 39. And it's hard for me to get too excited about guys wearing those numbers.
Yep.
39 is a terrible number for a defensive back, and 38 for a runner. Just the same.
Does seem a bit practice squatty.
Yeah. So I don't know how excited. And then two, two for our quarterback. What grown-up decides, I'm going to wear number two? You could go from 1 all the way up to 19, and you go with 2?
I've been saying, people have been asking if Tua, if he goes to the Dolphins, who wears number 13, obviously that number's not going to be available to
him.
Why
not?
I don't think Marino's going to release that one.
Jake Scott, people Super Bowl, the,
and,
one of
and
the great
Scotty.
Trivia questions out right. there to impress your friends with is, hey, what, who's the number 13 to win a Super Bowl MVP? It's remarkable that it isn't Dan Marino.
Right.
His predecessor.
But like, why wouldn't Tua just own the number 2? Like, that could be his thing.
Okay, that
how
makes
about,
it like RG3. I've long said needs to wear 3. Finally, he does with the Ravens.
How about it looks like week 8, Bills at Browns. So there you go. That could end up being the
that could be the decider.
Tiebreaker. Yeah. All of that for that final wild card.
It's nice
spot.
How many of them.
It'll
as
be
a
decided
side
on the field.
I love that between that and Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes, so many of those young guys are all on the AFC side. So we can look forward to these almost weekly matchups between the 2018 QB class. All right, I don't know if we settled anything.
I think we did.
What we settled is that the Chiefs and Patriots have basically no competition. Unless the Chargers get right in time for January.
I think Eddie's just building a graphic which is going to show all of our picks and how the playoff race in the AFC is going to show.
And it's
going
to get blown to hell and we're going to look like idiots.
It can just
I think it'll be exactly right.
It's the top two and then it's just blurry. Yeah. It doesn't make a difference. It's a big mess. Who cares?
Doesn't
don't
matter.
Worry
those
about
two teams
it.
Are still going to meet in the AFC Championship game.
Basically,
so
that's
who
the bottom
cares?
Line.
Like, it doesn't really matter.
It'll be an interesting path to that point.
Yeah.
If we've established anything, it's that. All right, we need to do something right now. So thus ends the Fresh Takes presented by our pals over at Zaxby's. Eddie Spaghetti, we need to, before we do the song thing, because I promised it.
Minimal time for tangent. That's what
well,
I have
on my
schedule.
Well, this isn't a tangent. This is something that came up the other day on the show, and I wanted to get your expert opinions on this. Both of you guys like your food. We like to have our culinary club around Football America when we have the opportunity when we're all on the road together.
Ooh, we're going to Mexico City as well. We need to plan
and
that.
I'm coming in on Saturday.
Okay, good. Let's book something.
For sure.
Okay.
So the question was this. If you had to eat one NFL mascot, which would it be?
There's not only one answer to this.
Which is what?
A bear. Oh, roasted bear. That would be delicious.
A buffalo, bison.
No, a bear.
You've had bear.
I've never had bear. I've had bison. It's fine. It's good.
It's good.
But I like a bear.
A bear might taste good.
I think a bear would
Why
be delicious.
Why wouldn't a bear taste good? That
Some,
makes
like
sense.
Dark meat.
It's brawny like a cow or a steer. Why don't we eat
it's
bear?
It's not like a cow or a steer. It's
and bear,
muscle. It is swole. You need fat. No, muscle is tough. It's chewy.
You get one of those fat ones
bison.
At the end. You get
Forgive
one of the ones
me,
that
bears,
been eating
but I,
nuts all summer. Nuts, do they
I've
eat
I've seen a lot of bears fat bears. You would consider bears fit?
Absolutely. They're wrecking machines.
No,
I didn't say
some
that they're
bears.
Not. Well, listen, Vita Vea is also a wrecking machine. Doesn't mean he's fit.
Right.
You guys are nuts.
Some bears.
Bison, a bill, a buffalo. I mean, that's...
not a bill.
You are talking about... You're
a bison. I
hate
I
to
mean,
do
yeah.
this. I hate to embarrass you again, especially since I've explained this to you previously, Money. The Buffalo Bills
yes,
mascot is not a buffalo.
It's,
the city is named for the majestic
yes.
beast. The football team... I mean, just insanely, and it's why they're playing.
There's a buffalo on their helmet.
I don't care.
I do.
They named the team after the man who tried to kill all the
so
Bills.
So now you're
all
saying
the
mascot is technically Bill, and
it's
I
Buffalo
would be
Bill.
Eating...
The team's name is Buffalo
You'd
Bill.
Be
That's
Bill.
The mascot.
All right, I don't want to
eat
guy. Bill.
That guy.
Buffalo
right.
Bill Cody.
Thanks for...
You got to eat his rifle with it, too. I think the correct answer is, I said it might be Dolphin.
Dolphin would be fine, but dolphins are muscular. You don't get a fat dolphin. There are no
right.
fat dolphins in the ocean.
But then again,
they're emotion at all
times.
It's
not like a swordfish is all fat.
Handsome, you might. I'm surprised, handsome, you don't step up here on behalf because I know you've had it before for a Bronco or for a Colt.
A little Colt burger.
Well, no, I have not eaten horse.
You haven't?
I think I have eaten horse in France. Just a little slither, just
How was
to
that?
See what. Not that good.
Yeah.
No, you're a little gamey.
Well, there you go.
I would eat a falcon as well. I mean, I think they're endangered
think
species, but I'd eat
a,
I'd,
a
I'd
bird.
Roast a falcon.
Yeah. Meaty bird.
Yep.
And you could conceivably.
Seahawk.
I think I'd
they
eagle.
They don't exist, Money.
No, it's supposedly the osprey, but. Yeah,
I think what
Eagles
you want to
are
do.
Too magnificent. You, if
no,
you
no,
eat
no.
an eagle, you have a problem with
no,
me.
No, no, no. If it's a bald eagle, first of all, it's illegal to eat a bald eagle.
I think it's illegal to eat an eagle.
I don't know if that's right. Is it illegal to eat an eagle?
Yes.
Huh.
It's
eagle.
Not legal
right.
to eat an eagle.
As I've said before, and I'm going to tell you again now, imagine the irony. As a human, you don't want to be bald. But if you're an eagle, You most certainly want to be bald. Hmm. Because if you're an eagle and you're not the bald one, then you're second-class citizen by definition, right? Mm.
So you wouldn't be peppering your head if you're an eagle?
No, I wouldn't.
I feel like we're really limited in these mascots here.
I know. The NFL's done a poor job of edible mascots. The other one that people have let me know about is the Ram.
The Ram.
People say it's a lamb.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
That guy sent you a picture on Twitter of, like, he literally cooked Ram last night and had a dish at it. It was like, it was...
You can get it in Mexico, as a matter of fact. Let us know how the Ram is down in Mexico. Let's get a Ram
and a bear, and we'll just share.
In Mexico. Okay.
Yeah. I'm with Handsome, though. I'm now suddenly intrigued by the thought of eating a bear. Why don't we as a society... By the way, the cows don't do anything. They're a peaceful beast. But the bears, if we go anywhere near them, they'll kill us.
I mean, they'll kill us without thinking twice. I don't think you should be able to get bear in the supermarket, but I think one day a year, everyone should be allowed to eat bear, if you want to.
We need a new holiday.
Seems wildly insensitive. I'm not on board with that. It's a majestic creature. We ought to respect it. Okay? Same with the Bengal. Not eating a tiger either.
Definitely not.
Damn it.
I didn't say anything about eating a tiger.
That's
crazy. Because that's a cat, and I don't want to eat cat. Bear.
Can I sell the idea that browns are like hash browns?
Well, that's what I was thinking.
Or like some browned onions,
I think we've identified that brown is the best color for food.
Right. That's where I went.
So
right.
That might be
peanut
the,
butter, right. like that all.
Chocolate.
Right. Ribs.
Just chocolate.
I feel like maybe.
Roast beef,
you know.
Yep.
You know.
Brown.
Pumpernickel.
Yep.
Nice slice of wheat toast.
Mm-hmm.
Brown might be the answer.
Right.
Brown sugar, while not brown, has the word brown.
Enjoy that.
Brown sugar is brown.
It is brown.
What are you talking about? How's brown sugar not brown?
Sugar is actually brown. They bleach it. That's why you would rather eat.
I was kidding. I put brown sugar on top of my head every day. Hey, all right, so do we want to jump to
the
Red
Rolling
Challenge
Stones write
here?
The song Brown Sugar today? I'm going to go with no.
Get pushback.
It says minimal time for tangent. I just thought I would throw that in there.
And you're getting straight into the music portion.
I'd love to tackle that one, but I'm still intrigued by the thought of a bear steak.
There'll probably be one, knowing the sway you carry around here, there'll probably be one cooking in the huddle right now.
Right now.
I want to know about that.
Special rap. Rap of the day.
With your face and a voice bubble that says, try the bear, chummy.
Try the bear.
Something along those lines.
Hey, listen. Booyah, the sandwich maker in the huddle.
He'll do it.
He and I already teamed up for the world famous Booyito, so we have been waiting for our sequel. This might be the opportunity. Okay, before the Red Challenge flag picks, let's do something here. We have, as part of the season initiative with Rock Nation, What Would a Champion Do by Sash. Here, take a quick listen to this, and I want to talk about some music quickly.
More than me, I'm hard to please, and when I'm mad, I'm hard to ease. Pay my dues, I paid the fees. Ready now to say the least. My brother play, he on the keys. We have this beat. He also like the other half of me. This how it had to be. Want everything, A to Z. When y'all go out to wait on me, cause I'ma stay inside and cook up like the bakery. You lost it all, I hate to see. Funny, most of y'all that ain't believe. Be the ones that's faking, playing make-believe. What would a champion do? That's what you should do. How would a champion move? That's how you should move. You should be focused on you.
A musical interlude. You know what? We could do worse. We should get a house band for the show going forward. What about Dick Banks? Yeah, we could get house band Dick Banks in here. We'd love that. Yeah. Could do a lot worse than that. Eddie Spaghetti is an excuse for us to get into some music. There's no subject that Spaghetti likes better. Even in a world of Danny Dimes, he still likes to talk Eddie Vedder and all things music. Spaghetti, you went. Oh yeah,
Spaghetti,
that's right. I forgot.
Freaking grunge.
I forgot. Money doesn't like Pearl Jam. That's right. And lo and behold, Eddie Spaghetti. Who did you go and see this past weekend?
I saw the lead singer of Pearl Jam this weekend.
He's your favorite. Who do you like better, Eddie Vedder or Danny Dimes?
Oh, it's not close. Come on. One guy started two games. One guy's been part of my life for over a decade.
Part of my life.
What is it? Sorry, I have attachment.
You know what? Actually, Eddie, I do appreciate that.
Thank you.
Because people fail to recognize that music has to have context, that it plays as a soundtrack to our lives, special moments in our lives. We'll create a relationship with a band that maybe we otherwise would not
for
have.
For our viewers, sorry to the listeners right now, but Eddie Spaghetti, some of his tweets popping up as we talk about this. He went to Ohana Fest. That's in the OC there, Spaghetti?
It's in Doheny, St. Beach, Dana Point.
What I like about Spaghetti, he took a couple of his pals down there, but he wore a Mookie Blaylock New Jersey Nets game jersey.
That's what the indie rockers do, which is what you wouldn't wear to a Pearl Jam show.
Their original name was Mookie Blaylock.
Yeah, I know. I'm well aware of that.
Okay.
All right? Easy there, 10, which is why. Why don't you tell us why they named the album 10?
That's it.
Because?
Mookie.
It's his number. Yeah. So there you go. It's their little homage to what they were called. I like that you brought your pool noodle with you. That's
no,
what I like.
They sold them. It's my for a poster because I collect art like posters, and they actually sold them. Yeah, you can just keep them safe.
There we go.
Any new music we need to check out? Matt Money Smith, expert music guy, former label fella.
What am I? Yeah, I do like some new music right now. I like the Where's my single? I've been listening to some indie rock lately. Spoon's got a new record, I like it. Rex Orange County, a record I like. I'm still listening to the Tame Impala record. What else do I like?
Handsome loves his Radiohead, and he's very progressive with his music tastes. Are you hip with Spoon there, Handsome?
I'm not a Spoon fan.
Oh, I love it.
Love Spoon.
I mean, I've heard it.
Can I tell you something? Yes. Series of Sneaks for me, one of their original, first records. Series of Sneaks, probably in my top six or seven records all time.
This actually works before Handsome gives us his musical preferences, because old man Hunter passed away, lyricist for the Grateful Dead, a way to merge these two things, indie rock and the Dead. Day of the Dead, a great set of about 60 songs. Of all the songs, there's a couple, but if you just want to sample it, the War on Drugs cover, A Touch of Grey, is unreal. Hmm. And the Stephen Malkmus and the Jix, China Cat, and Do I Know You Rider, is pretty darn special.
What was
too.
The compilation that's in? There was a previous one, which I used to love.
Dedicated was the original one when.
This was the same group of people that put together
Eyes of the World. It's great. Yes.
The same group of people that put together that compilation did another one.
Well, the National guys were the ones who kind of did it.
Right, but before that, there was a different compilation, which I can't remember what it was called, but same idea.
Yeah, great stuff. So there you go.
Now I have to check out this Malkmus. I'm a big fan of Steve
Malkmus. Oh, it's a great China Cat. I know you're right.
Excellent. Hey. All right. So I thought that was a C-level music conversation, our little music interlude there?
I mean, I got to insult Eddie a little bit, so I give it a B.
Yeah. C+. You know? C+.
Yeah,
I like
a couple
it
low,
for the,
low blows.
For the
low
zinger
blows.
You threw his way.
Yeah.
That brings us to some more music, namely the Red Challenge flag theme.
Oh, yeah.
Red Challenge flag picks! Ow! You're a little late there, Handsome.
I was.
Yeah, you.
I think you're a little early, Dave.
He was for the show. He's consistent.
I was on time with that, but we haven't the time to go back and try it again this time. Let's start it off with...
Yeah, look how small my head is. I'm not looking at
the monitor. Hey, have one of these.
I've got the pebbliest head.
No,
anyone
on Earth. I get it. It's passive aggressive.
It is not. It is
it's
a
not
tiny...
that you have
give
a pebble
shot.
Head.
Director,
you're
give
nice
me the three shot.
Thin.
Look at that. Look at my pebble head. It is tiny.
It is small.
It is tiny.
I would say like mine is closer to average.
Dave's
fat,
is large and mine is
and yours
tiny.
Is very small.
Painful. I'm a fat now. I'm the first one to admit it. You know what? I'm having my
but
weight
you can
issues.
Do something about that. I can't grow my head. Like my head will always be
I think you can get head implants.
Beetlejuice style.
I think you could get head implants.
Could I?
Yep.
Okay. That's something I'll look into.
I wish we would have had a picture so you could see the hat Eddie Spaghetti wore to Ohana Fest, because that might help solve your small
It was a sun hat, and some guy yelled at me and told me to take it off while we were standing in the GA. I got yelled at twice, because my poster tube hit somebody, and then my hat. It was like the most miserable GA experience I've had.
Well, that's what you get for going to see Pearl Jam.
It wasn't Pearl Jam, it was Eddie by himself. I saw Incubus, Glenn Hansen.
Eddie on a ukulele. Yeah, that's right. I saw your tweet about Incubus and I threw up in my mouth.
They were good.
in our lifetime, is that the worst era of music ever, Money?
Yes.
Yes.
The Disturbed, Korn.
They're not like that.
All that kind of stuff. Yes. Incubus?
They're not like Korn.
Dude, they got a DJ. I mean, Korn's a little more aggressive. Yeah. Incubus is a little more pop leaning. But yes, I would say if I were to find myself in hell, the soundtrack, which I will, and I am ready to acknowledge that, So I should say, when I find myself, I'm gonna open my door, and there on one side is gonna be 311, yeah. and on the other side is gonna be Incubus. And they're just gonna play songs.
That horrible
and
there'll
just be a stream of Eddie's tweets. There'll just be a stream of Eddie's tweets enjoying it all.
Yes.
Yes. Welcome to hell.
Poor spaghetti getting painted with the ink.
It's so bad seeing George Harrison and Tom Petty covers and like, all right, guys, move on with your picks.
Spaghetti's starting to get offended.
He's now resorted to, hey, it's not the original material. It was the covers I was into.
It's a mix.
Which you can see at any bar. Band doing covers. Look,
the eye rolling back in the bathroom is...
No respect.
No respect, you're right. No respect.
All right, let's get to it. The one of the big games of this week. There's another juicy slate awaiting our eyeballs. And why don't we just start with maybe not the headline game, but for me, of course, the best rivalry, at least in this century, the Ravens
still?
At the Pittsburgh Steelers. Sure.
He's
what would trump that? I did say Packers and Cowboys, but I don't know that that's a 21st century phenomenon.
Packers and Bears is pretty good.
No.
They had a pretty good run.
Packers
and Bears had a pretty good run for,
six,
7 years this century.
I mean, this really feels like this is Ohio State, Michigan. One of the two, at least, is always playing.
It's been good.
It's been very, very good.
That one of these teams isn't playing for something. And in this case, in the mediocre North, both happen to be playing for first place in week five. A quick reminder, I feel obliged to say it every time. If you aren't certain which team to root for with your heart, with your spirit, with your soul, on one hand, you have the Pittsburgh Steelers, named for the local steelworkers back in the mid-20th century who forged the steel that was used to make the ships and the tanks and the artillery that defeated the Nazi scourge. And if you don't like the Steelers and you don't like Pittsburgh, then you don't like freedom. Go talk to Benito Mussolini. Conversely,
appreciate you leaving Hitler out of that.
You can go with the Ravens,
right?
Who were named after a poem penned by a New York Boston guy who, at the tail end of his life, moved to Baltimore, got drunk, and died
in the gutter.
Right. So that's up. How? Which way you want to go?
Whichever way you lean in that thing, then that
whichever
would be
you
who
think
you'd
is. Right. Is easier to support, then that's how you should make your decision.
Got it.
Handsome, let's let you start it off here this time. It's the Baltimore Ravens, your division champion, as forecasted in August, at the Pittsburgh Steelers with Mason Rudolph. Choose.
I'm going to lean towards the drunk in the gutter for this one.
Yes.
I'll go Ravens.
I'm with you.
Anyone going to throw a flag? Spaghetti?
It would only be you.
It would only be you.
I go Steelers.
You go Steelers.
Really? Do you want to throw something at me?
It's fine. As long as James Conner's healthy, I like the Steelers' chances. The defense looked great.
The defense did look very good. Then again, they were playing Andy, and
Andy and Zach.
And no AJ Green. So big asterisk next to that. And also, I think even Mike Tomlin more or less has conceded since that game that they had to go gimmicky. You can surprise a team for 1 week with the Wildcat.
Right.
They're not going to come out and run Wildcat. I can't imagine they would try it against the Ravens more than
maybe
a couple of plays.
Yeah.
I can't imagine that that's their
they
offensive.
Might try
you know
that.
Why? Because they'd adjust. And you know what else the Ravens aren't going to do? Try to throw 50 screen passes to Joe Mixon when the defense is standing right there waiting for him to catch the screen pass. That's another thing the Ravens aren't going to
do. The Bungles legitimately ran some play action in the fourth quarter.
There was some interesting decisions.
24.
Unreal.
Everybody's going with the Ravens. So Handsome, why don't you explain why you got them?
Because I think that the Ravens offense is going to be able to score certainly more points than the Bengals were able to on the Steelers defense. And I don't see the Steelers being able to keep up. There's just not enough. It's such a strange phenomenon now to be watching a Steelers team without the firepower that you just take for granted with Pittsburgh for years, that they're always going to have receivers that are going to be able to get open consistently, a running game that's going to be really strong, and a quarterback that can make stuff happen. And just none of those pieces are there at the moment.
Well, despite the tackle numbers that people look at as evidence that a defensive player is playing well or not, Devin Bush was a little lost and a step slow, not physically slow, but was reacting a little slowly. That was his best game on Monday night.
He was fantastic.
He really splashed in that game. And that's what happens with defensive guys. And as the season wears on, it's really, can the Steelers' defensive pieces and can Deontay Johnson on offense, to your point about pass catchers, can they get fully up to speed in the NFL and have the Steelers' record and the Ravens and Browns still be close enough to catch them?
I think this game's going to be close. I don't have that faith in Lamar Jackson. If this defense plays to their potential, I think it'll be a tight game.
If Devin Bush is loose, if the front three can eat up the blockers and have Devin Bush free, that's what is going to nullify Lamar Jackson and the speedsters behind him there. Yeah, I'll take the Ravens. They got embarrassed defensively. I think they step back up against the backup QB. Spaghetti, though, is going with the Steelers, eh?
My one question, though, is what's been going on with Juju? Like, why has he not been involved? I feel like if you get Juju going and then Connor, like I said, as long as Connor's healthy, then it's...
Take him out.
Take him away.
That's it. That's what you do. Take him away.
I do think that they are starting to figure out, as you can see, based on targets, based on opportunities in the game, number of snaps. Deontay Johnson, the third-round pick, is a poor man's Antonio Brown right now. I'm not going to compare the two, but they have similar skill sets. And I think that he's starting to rise up a little bit and make it. And then they need Vance McDonald. They need some more targets out there for the kid. Anyhow, let's move on. And there's so many great ones you could look at. You could talk about Bart Starr in, was that December of 66? And then Don Meredith throws the interception in the end zone that would have sent the Cowboys to Super Bowl II to play the Raiders. And instead, like I say, I think Herb Adderley picks that one off. And so the Packers go to their second straight. You can jump all the way to the Dez Bryant non-catch. And then most recently, a game of significance, the Cowboys were supposed to win it. Dak Prescott in his rookie year, bested by the best in the game, Aaron Rodgers, with that rollout to the left. That set up Mason Crosby for this.
This to send the Packers into the NFC Championship game. It is good! The Packers are moving on! Aaron Rodgers has done it again. And Mason Crosby, a hero for Green Bay.
Side.
That was no good the entire way until the final 10 feet.
Yeah.
And then it was good, which is funny when you watch it and you can see the people behind the uprights like cheering because it's a miss. And then all of a sudden it's like, God darn it, what just happened?
Well, most kickers play a hook. They play a draw.
He faded that one in there.
And amazing. And it reminds me also of how narratives get forged and then people have a really hard time escaping them. Dak Prescott going into this season was like, well, can he do it though in big spots? He did it against the Packers in that game, and he punctuated what would have been the game-winning drive with a QB draw. Were it not for 12 there pulling that one out with a miraculous
pass.
Play, then we would talk about Dak Prescott. We would already have been talking about
it. We know he does do it.
And by the way, I don't care that much that they lost to the Saints. I don't hold that against the Cowboys. But let's talk about this one right now. Matt Money Smith, it's the Packers. It's the Cowboys. Both now with one blemish in the loss column. Choose.
I'm going Cowboys.
Handsome. Come on. Do something cool.
No, I mean, I genuinely didn't know what my answer was going to be. But I think just the Cowboys being at home, like, this is going to be as close as that.
That stinks because I got to take the Cowboys too. They're my Super Bowl pick. That's not necessarily.
Yeah, well, they're my Super Bowl pick too. So I'd be crazy to suddenly
go against
them. The
reason why, all right, Money, it's you're up. Explain to Spaghetti, by the way, who you got?
I'm actually going to go with the Packers.
Spaghetti's the one wild.
He loves it. Eddie loves it. We should give him one of these flags.
I agree, Spaghetti. You got to
see if he can reach us from the bathroom.
I don't need the limelight. You guys do it.
This is no, come in and throw it, Spaghetti.
See if you can throw it from the bathroom all the way. No.
Spaghetti, come here.
Sit back down.
First, you got to hit Handsome because you want to get his AFC North.
Okay, no, you were trying to hit Money that time. Here's another flag for you. Thank you. Now you got to hit me.
Drop it between two defenders. Over the
like Danny Dimes.
Do it like Dimes.
You got it!
In the leg.
Congratulations.
All right.
Explain.
Just the simple reason, because I think it's the part of the season where we start talking about Aaron Rodgers in a positive light again and less about the defense and what they've accomplished there. And then reversely, the part of the season where we talk about the Cowboys, do we trust them, are they struggling, and Jerry Jones gets involved in the media. That's my real answer. I just think it has to happen. at some point in the season. Not that it's going to derail the Cowboys at all. I think they're a great team. But the Packers will sneak out like a 3-4-ish point victory in the road.
Money?
Well, it'll be tight. I think that LaFleur and Rodgers still have issues, and they don't quite know what that offense is. I'm worried about, I know you like to always make light of the old turf toe and point out that it's called turf toe, yet it is a debilitating injury for a position like wide receiver when
turf
you rely
toe.
On your toes to make your cuts and get in and out of breaks. So
it doesn't sound that bad.
The idea that no Davante Adams is serious. I wish Jimmy Graham could figure out how to catch passes. For Aaron Rodgers, that's been a problem. And I think the offensive line will be able to keep that defensive line in check. And again, like the Ravens-Steelers game, it'll be close. But I suspect the Cowboys will win a tight one.
By the way, with the Cowboys, the thing that people continue to not talk about, which is a weird thing because it's now been a half decade, maybe even year six for Rod Marinelli. But once again, this defense is showing up. Look at, I know it's Teddy Bridgewater and everything else, but look what they did to Alvin Kamara. I mean, Kamara had some splashy plays there, but it's not as though he was making decisive, obviously. He didn't get into the end zone, nor did anyone else there. That defense is for real. No Davante Adams. And the other thing that's been very quiet is the guy who they had to have and they had to break the bank to get just before the season was Zeke Elliott. He hasn't been prominent yet, but at some point that's going to start to rise up and deeper into the season. Right. Not that October counts as that, but I do think at some point Zeke is going to have a signature type game.
Yep.
So I'll take the Cowboys at home as well. Let's go to Monday night.
Now it's you.
And it's the Browns.
Oof.
It's the 49ers.
Choose, Dave.
I'm taking Jimmy G at home. Oh,
how did I miss you?
No, you're gonna stick with the.
I threw it.
Oh, you? Oh, I didn't. Yeah. I didn't feel it.
Even though I took the Browns to win the division, I think this is gonna be one of their losses.
Got to work on that arm strength there, man. I didn't even feel the flag.
Well, I didn't want to hurt you. I just kind of. It's right behind you here. Can we do it again?
No.
Go ahead. Say Browns.
I'm gonna take the Niners.
He said the Niners.
Oh, I said the Niners.
Yeah.
Oh, then I should
have.
I said the Browns.
So handsome. And Spaghetti, who do you have?
Hank threw it for me. I'm going with the Browns on the road.
Okay. Handsome, explain.
I think that the Browns defense, this is exactly the kind of game where Jimmy Garoppolo is going to struggle. He hasn't had many opportunities in his career to see defenses this good, and I think that they're going to give him a hard time.
I feel like we talk about all the time. Something I say always, if you're a fan of a certain team and they're doing well or they're doing poorly, it's always about that team. I think the thing that that they're going to find out, the Browns, this time around, is that that defensive front for San Francisco is for real. That front seven is for real. That's a bad matchup, obviously, for Cleveland. They're going on the road. I think that it's easy to pump the brakes on the Niners a little bit based on the fact that they kind of should have lost to Pittsburgh last time we saw them. But that was wonky stuff. They kept dropping the ball, and maybe you can attribute that to an active Steelers defense and trying to force turnovers more as much as a team can try and force turnovers. They shot themselves in the foot repeatedly. I don't anticipate that happening, especially after a week off. I know the Browns are feeling good about themselves, but the practical matchup is bad for them, especially that offensive line. The Niners defense is another defense nobody is talking about, but it is loaded. And I say the Niners win it and remain undefeated.
I'm with you. To me, it's, the offensive line of the Browns combined with the defensive front of the 49ers and Dee Ford and Nick Bosa and Buckner and even Armstead's playing well. You know, those two guys interior, Armstead and Buckner, are playing fantastic. I think that's the difference. You know, we forget the Browns have serious offensive line issues. And, that's, again, I keep saying it's going to be tight. You know, it's probably going to be turnover. Look, the Steelers forced, five turnovers against the 49ers and could not win that game because the defense was so good. And I think that's kind of...
I think that's exactly right. And if you watch to get micro... Alejandro Villanueva has been a nice left tackle for the Steelers for the most part, but, I mean, Nick Bosa trucked him. I mean, he just pushed him around in an embarrassing fashion, and that's just the start of things with that defense, with Bosa coming on and getting healthy and, like what you say, Dee Ford. And, I mean, that front seven is for real.
But flipping it around the other way, I'm not sure that I see the 49ers offense suddenly getting off to it and having a great game against
I just believe in Kyle Shanahan.
Yep.
I mean, I think he's so good. He's in the conversation, you know, with Andy Reid and sure. those guys as the best play caller in the league. And I think he'll figure it out. A way to put them in the best position to win the game. They have enough talent.
Yep.
You know, they do. I mean, Joe Staley being out's not great with Myles right. Garrett there, but I have a little bit, you know, I just have faith that he'll, you know, that he can figure something out.
Talking about figuring it out, how much internally do you think is happening with the Browns with Odell Beckham saying, okay, we won, but figure it out how you're going to get me right. the ball more and how you're going to give me more opportunities?
I completely agree that, so they got away with it this week, you know, two touches or two targets right. or whatever for Odell.
That's not sustainable for him.
Nobody's complaining, right. See? That Freddie Kitchens has a handle on all that. Yeah, that's because Odell was busy talking about almost getting strangled right. and throwing punches with a foe. That's why in the post game they weren't focused on how many targets he did or didn't get. They yep. were too busy asking him about yet another imbroglio with a defensive back.
You're the suit around here that knows really? The people up top. Can we get Richard Sherman mic'd up for this one and get the raw
footage? Ooh, that would be fun, wouldn't it?
You know, when he's standing across from Odell, just
trying to wind him up.
I think that would be that'd be something we yep. really need.
Yeah, pull those strings, Hans.
Okay,
you do that?
I will. Yeah. I'll make a couple calls.
Let's move on. In the meantime, the spaghetti special. It's the Minnesota Vikings struggling with Kirk Cousins. You know who's not struggling? Dimes. Danny Dimes.
Why don't we have Eddie pick
okay.
this
Eddie,
one?
You do it.
It's the Vikings at the Giants, both 2-2. Choose.
Am I about to get pelted by three
yes,
flags?
Yes, you are.
Oh, yeah. I hope
the
you
answer
say
to that is
I
resounding
hope you're
yes.
that kooky.
Giants are going to win at home.
Ah,
bring it. Bring it.
Out.
Bring it.
Homer. How did you pick the Giants?
What are you thinking?
How many reasons do you need?
What do you think?
How many reasons do you need? Just
Dalen,
one.
Dalen Jones has been one of the best third down quarterbacks in the league since he came in. Golden Tate's coming back.
Ooh.
Saquon coming back?
Yeah. He's out of practice.
Can you throw my flag back?
If
Golden
today.
Tate's going to be playing, I might need that flag back.
Golden was fine in his absence. I mean, Jarvis Jenkins won, you know, NCAA Defensive Player of the Week last week. He had
who
a
was he
rough
playing?
Start.
Who's Jarvis squared up against?
But all right, but he was graded still the highest grade of his career.
By who?
By PFF. Dexter Lawrence is becoming a three-down defensive lineman. What else we got? Jabril Peppers had arguably the best game of his career last week, too. Again, I know it's versus the Redskins.
Against one of the three worst teams in the league.
So you think Kirk Cousins now is going to go, all right, I'm going to start slinging the ball for four or five touchdowns?
I think he's going to look dramatically better than he did against arguably the best defense in yep. the league, save the Patriots. And all they right. might be better than the Patriots' defense. I do think he will look dramatically better.
I think the Giants do a good job versus Dalvin Cook in the run, stopping the run. I don't. If it's a game where Daniel Jones has to make plays now with Tate back and Sterling Shepard, who's looked great, and the rookie Darius Slayton's made some plays along with Evan Ingram and Gallman, who can catch the ball, I honestly right now will rather pick Daniel Jones to make offensive plays than Kirk Cousins.
By the end of the first quarter, or like I bet like eight
that's
to,
just nuts.
8 to 10
that
minutes into the game,
crazy.
It'll be 10 or 14-0 Vikings.
Yes, it's
because
crazy
what they'll
talk.
Come out to do is the Giants will certainly sit on Dalvin Cook, and they'll have 10 men in the box. They're not even going to cover people. They're just going to be like,
Adam
beat
Thielen,
us, Kirk.
Adam Thielen will have a 60-plus-yard touchdown within
Thielen
the first
was just
quarter.
Screaming
I think
Cousins.
That's what's going
to happen. And they're going to figure it out. The pressure's on them to figure it out.
Yeah, pressure's on.
You
and
figure
Danny
it out,
Dimes
Eddie.
Danny Dimes is home. It's going to be great. It's going to be so good. Oh, man, when they win this game, you guys are all
I great. Hope you're right, yeah. Spaghetti. Yeah. It's more
so
fun
good.
when the Gents are winning.
It's so good. Let me tell you guys, when they win this thing, man... It is going to be something.
It's going to be sweet.
Forget the Skins game. Go back to the second half of the Buccaneers game. Buccaneers looked great versus the Rams.
They
Betcher
did.
Figured it out in the second half. They gave up nothing. It's a different team.
I will give you the point that, yes, this team has responded to the insertion of Daniel Jones in a manner that they were not interested in responding to Eli Manning earlier in the season. But front to back, Vikings defense is pretty darn good.
Oh, on paper,
and
without
that is,
a doubt.
That is,
on paper.
No, I mean, field.
Actually on the football field
Actually on
as well.
The football field. It has been the offense that has let them down. They completely shut down the Bears. The Vikings should have won that game if Kirk Cousins was at all competent. They shut down Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, and Kirk Cousins made bonehead mistake after bonehead mistake in the red zone because the Packers defense is pretty good, especially on the back end. That's not the Giants.
Eddie's
that's
furious with you.
No, I picked the Packers weeks ago to be the best team in the NFC, but they look they look like crap right now.
No problem. I still got the Yanks.
And the Rangers are back.
Yeah. The Blue Shirts are coming. Capo Caco, look out, NHL. I think that.
And don't get me started on the Knicks. The other guys are my guys.
We have. Interesting, Kleinman whispers into my ear there. Speak up, join the show, Kleinman. Don't whisper into my ear. That's a good observation. It's Twin Cities v. Manhattan or five boroughs all over the place because it's the Twins and the Yanks getting it on
as
well.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
By the way, any of those Twins pitchers would be better quarterbacks than Kirk Cousins at this point. And I, as I've said, my essay, my reality check this week on this weekend on Good Morning Football is all about the phenomenon of backup QBs, Minshew mania, Mason mania, and all the rest of it. I think the answer is obvious. It's right there in front of you, Mike Zimmer. Mannion mania, you know?
Mannion mania.
Hey, get that angry beef out there. I'm happy for I'd love to see Sean Mannion in a game. Absolutely.
All right, let's bring it on home. 25 years after they first joined the NFL.
It's
and
been
then,
25 years, eh?
Yeah.
Mm. How about that?
Yeah. 25 years.
Seems like just yesterday.
Doesn't it, though?
It does. Hmm.
Which franchise would you rather be? If you
after 25 years,
yeah. Well, Jags he'd rather be the Jags because he gets to go to London Jags. Multiple times yeah. a year.
Well, that's true.
Once.
But so, yes. like, to explain which franchise, like, what's what constitutes well, this like, answer?
Which
like,
one of them would be tastiest roasted?
Oh.
Ooh.
Oh,
no.
So that's close.
Yeah. I mean, I would assume they taste pretty much the
I
same.
I think they
right?
would do.
Yeah, but yeah. The, those spots
I think
are
panther.
Like pepper.
It's a little bit meatier. Panther, yeah. It's a little like, meatier.
Jaguar is just a little bit, it's more sinewy.
Right.
But if if the spot has some flavor to it.
It doesn't.
Well, how do you know? What are you? You've eaten Jag?
I'm just saying, I would assume the spot. Though. You're not eating
the
skin. The
spot is not.
The skin comes off, you're eating the meat
right.
under
you
it.
Don't know
the
what
spot
I'm,
is
you don't know
is
what
fur
I'm
that's
off
the top
that.
Of the skin.
I'm going to have it on a spit, right. you know, roasting mm-hmm. it around. Yes, and you know what was the crazy weird thing that almost happened that would have been terrible for pro football is the 2 years, wait, actually, was it their second year?
The Panthers?
The Panthers and Jags were
right.
in the title game.
Were in
game.
The title game.
If they had won either one of those, right. that would have been terrible for the league. Yeah, you can join and you'll be in a Super yeah, but, Bowl in about 18
but I mean,
months.
That, they definitely got an advantage over other expansion teams compared to the Bucks, who were the team to join before
That's
and
right.
who went forever without even being able to get a win. And then because they did so well, I think when the Texans came in and the Browns came back, they were penalized
Terrible,
pretty heavily.
Yeah.
That's right, yeah. We cannot have these
it was
teams
like,
be this
let's
good.
Flip, we got to flip the script.
Quickly.
We don't want that happening.
That's right. It was the Patriots. Drew Bledsoe vanquished the Jags. Right. And on the other side, the Packers took care of
Kerry
of the Panthers.
And the Panthers.
Yep, that's right. Anywho, now it is these
Not
two
Kerry
teams.
Not Kerry Collins, Steve Berline.
That's right, Berline. Uh-huh.
By the way, very quickly, I don't want to detour too long here, but I don't know if I ever got your thoughts on this. We talked with one Maurice Jones-Drew.
I know.
Right after the Jaguars announced their 50 best players in their 25 years. Did you happen to see where Maurice came in there?
I think he was fourth.
Came in
Is that
at
right?
fourth. Yeah. Jimmy.
Came in at fourth, so Boselli.
Fred Taylor's got to be
right,
above
Fred
him.
Fred Taylor.
Easily a better running back than Maurice at any stage of his career.
Sure.
Boselli.
Fred Taylor. Boselli's number one.
Right.
Fred
Boselli,
Taylor.
I thought Fred Taylor didn't like it, neither did Maurice. The,
Where was
Boselli
Freddie?
Was ahead of both of them.
Well, right. yeah, he was he the was, best left the, tackle of his era.
Right.
He played for like 5 years.
Yeah.
I mean, he played
and he was better than anyone during
he
those 5 years.
He was the best left tackle, right. an absolute wrecking
I'm telling
machine.
Maurice, I'm telling Maurice what you guys said.
He knows.
He knows.
Maurice
he understands.
Knows.
Maurice feels he should have been
so
one.
Who else
Even
was,
though he
who
also will
there?
Tell you that Fred Taylor was better.
Who else was there?
And Jimmy Smith.
Jimmy Smith.
Jimmy Smith.
That's also a slap in the face
Where was
of
Jimmy?
Mark Brunell.
Was Jimmy two? No, Brunell.
Jimmy was three, right? Behind
Fred.
Fred
Taylor was two.
Yeah.
Then Jimmy
three.
Smith, then Maurice. Maurice will vouch for himself.
Who was
and
five?
Say, hey now, I was playing, I was out there by myself.
Hey
he was
now.
Out there with me. Boselli had Fred Taylor, who had Jimmy Smith, who had Keenan McCardell, who had Mark Brunell. Who'd I have out there with me?
Who you was know? Five?
I don't remember.
Who was 40?
Brunell.
Who was 45?
I think Brunell should be ahead of me.
I would love to know which Jags came in at 40 through
yeah.
50.
After yeah. 17, they're like, yeah, right. it's all the same.
Jonathan Cyprian.
Right?
I do think I do think their kicker made the list. One of their kickers.
Is that right? Scobie?
I think it was Scobie, who, by the by, one of Maurice's kids' favorite player.
It's so great.
The kicker, not his dad.
Over Maurice.
All right, let's get to it then. It's the Jaguars. It's the Panthers. Handsome. Choose.
I'm going to go with the Jaguars.
You know what? I'll throw it. Okay. I'll throw it for fun. I'll throw it for fun. The defense is playing well. This is another trend, as much as you can read into it. The defenses are getting the better of the offenses. Is that fair to say so far this season? That with the exception of
No preseason has hurt the offenses. They are still shaking the rust off. Let's make sure we make that point.
I agree with that, and that was the caveat I laid down. I have always said that ignore preseason. It's a lie for your eyes. It's the Civil War reenactment. I now think we have to advance that into the month of September because guys are getting so few reps in those preseason games.
Let's get them some reps.
Yeah.
Please.
But football guys will tell you, the football players will tell you, the offense has the advantage for the first half of the year until they get enough tape, and then the defenses rise up in the second half of the year. Ergo, the defenses at least are ahead of schedule here. And by the way, the Panthers have a good defense. We just saw that in Houston once again. And Kyle Allen isn't setting the world on
fire.
At least he's fine.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
He was fine. But, I mean, I don't know.
Minshew-esque?
Yeah, I guess
not quite. Not quite.
I mean, four touchdowns against the Cards lit them up really good. Made a few nice plays to get the win against the Panthers. I do want to ask, though. Much more important than football analysis from
This is a hard one to have a strong feeling for either way.
Of all the words that we Americans butcher, Hank,
yep.
Where does, and I think it's important to point out, because it is a pet peeve of mine, I don't know how anyone can get Jaguar
out of
that spelling.
Right.
It really upsets me when people say Jaguar, but where does the mispronunciation of Jaguar fall into your disappointment in American English?
I'm disappointed by more things than that. Aluminium is number one. When you guys come up with some aluminum, that doesn't
aluminium
make any sense.
Aluminium
is one.
Commentary. Literally, I could see being upsetting. Literally.
Yeah, well, that
would be upsetting.
I don't know. I've got over that. Aluminium is a word that I don't hear very often when it's said here. The other one is vitamin. Like, come on, it's vitamin. That's
not
how
vitamin.
It's spelled, not vitamin.
There is no Y.
No.
It's VI.
Yeah. My kids vitamin. Were just talking vitamin. To me about this a couple of days ago, and I said, it really is American arrogance, American narcissism, that people, without irony, do say to British people, you're mispronouncing that word. Like, it's our language.
Right.
It's in there in the title. It's English. You guys are the ones doing it wrong. Herb. Who are we to have changed those things?
Yeah, why? Where did the H go?
We saw fit to just change pronunciations.
I also had another. It wasn't an epiphany. Just I guess a moment of pause with all the coverage. And this is not a political commentary. This is simply an observation.
Thank you, money.
As they were discussing the impeachment inquiry, they were playing tapes from Nixon's impeachment and his resignation, and the newscaster comes on, and as he's delivering the news of the day. He sounds like it's 1920. And here you see Richard Nixon as he steps to the lectern and accepts his fate. And many thought this day would never come, yet here he is, the President of the United States, accepting his fate and his resignation has been... When did we
just
stop?
Get loose?
Yes, when did we get loose with it and we no longer speak like that? When that is what carried us from like 1900
You're
to
right.
clearly 1973, 74, 70. When did it, was it 80? Was it
81? Disco, Mr. Cotter's Class, you know, those major influences that we haven't rebounded from fully yet.
And I think that's how we arrived.
Well, I mean, that's why I strongly believe that the Brits should come back over here and sort of re-education program.
I got an idea. Why don't you freaking worry about Brexit, huh? Why don't you get that sorted out?
Well, we might just Brexit our way over here instead.
Why don't you get that sorted out?
And by the way, I'm with money
you
on
and your
that.
Boy Boris,
although,
huh? Figure that one out.
As a great American patriot, I do have to stand up for how obnoxious then the English get about the word Jaguar, because they have identified that, like you point out, as a terrible, so yes, Americans too often, Jaguar. That's not right. But then they get so fancy with it that now it's an unrecognizable word when the British guy says, in the commercials for the car,
Jaguar.
They go, it's a Jaguar. That's like, now, like, well, that doesn't mean anything either.
Get those, the 2019 Jaguars.
You know? Anyway, tell us more about this impeachment stuff, Money.
No. Nothing to do with it. Nothing to do with it.
Call it quits.
Well, why are we calling it quits? There's another game. There's a game in London that I'm going to. Why did we decide
You're flying out this week.
Tonight.
Why are we not?
The Bears are playing the Raiders in Tottenham, the brand new stadium in London.
And Handsome eats the loser.
I'm not eating a Raider. That would be disgusting.
That's another.
That is the worst.
Next week, that's the one we do. Yeah. Is what? Which one do you least want to eat?
That Raider has not washed in months.
Yeah. Wow. I'll be one better.
Not the Raider.
Definitely not the Raider.
Want a Viking?
Oof. Same thing.
I don't know, but you're talking about fat. You're talking about needing a bit of little fat.
Yeah, no.
Those Vikings have been eating well. Like, what you're eating is what the Viking ate. The Raider, who knows what the Raider
is. Busy rowing the whole way across the sea?
And what do you think they're doing?
Pillaging.
Taking breaks to shower? I mean, you're gonna.
They're pillaging.
Although, then again, it's like the animals we eat. Turns out they don't shower either. Yeah. The animals, and yet they still taste pretty good.
If anyone has any info on what a bear tastes like and how best to prepare it, please drop the DDFP a line.
Yeah,
because I am now at minimum intrigued by it.
Someone listening within earshot right now is eating bear.
My favorite.
Certainly.
By the way, one last thing.
For sure.
Everybody's taking the Bears. No one's going to take the Vikings.
No.
I mean, no one's going to take the Raiders. Although, I don't think it's crazy.
There is no although.
Yes, there is.
Come on.
I mean, the although is Chase Daniel and how many points they're going to put up.
Defense is going to score 14.
Okay.
Know what I mean?
But the Raiders' performance last week in Indianapolis was a surprise.
It was.
Those teams that are defense dominant. The defense dominant teams, they show up in January and they impose their will and all that kind of rhetoric on whoever their foe is. But over the course of a season, those teams lose wonky games to bad teams because of the nature of their game.
And London's playing a wonky game.
And here's a little insight. The Raiders flew from Indianapolis on Sunday night to London. They've been eating eggs and bacon every morning. They've had they've had some. Sure they haven't.
Man, you know what else details have they been on what they're doing.
You know, they've had their Weetabix every day. These guys are ready to roll. The Bears are turning up on Friday. They won't have even had a chance to have fish and chips by the time the game kicks off.
Or maybe some dolphin, at least. That's
right. Going
over
exactly. Or a jaguar.
Or a bear.
I'd love to see what those spots taste like.
Completely unnecessary thing to mention. Do you remember the game, though, when it was one of the nastiest games ever in the 80s of the Raiders at the AstroTurf Soldier Field to play the Bears, and Jim McMahon got a lacerated spleen.
Ooh,
yes.
And they had no bat, and Steve Fuller got hurt, and for the entire second half, they just direct snapped to Walter Payton, the pre-concert.
Fine moment.
Not a bad idea.
A fine moment.
Remember that?
Yes.
That was a crazy game, and the Bears won it, if I'm not mistaken. Anywho, enough about that. Handsome Hank, safe travels across the sea back to your homeland there. Great stuff as always. Matt Money Smith, best to your Chargers. Eddie Spaghetti, I'm going to be rooting for your fellas. I'm not mean like these guys are.
Thank you.
I'd like to see Danny Dimes keep it going here. Same to you, Mason Rudolph. I'm on board with these backups.
Just breathe, Eddie.
We'll talk to you after week 5 in front of week 6. Until then, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.